a little over 3 hours until the opening bell on Wall Street, and markets around the world have already been echoing the multiple percentage point drops of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 4.3% decline, the worst since late 2008, echoed by the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, and the Shanghai Composite this morning, all down more than 2%, and the Hang Seng down more than 4%, actually as close to the Dow as any of the indices. European markets as well having trouble. So a lot of you, I suspect, are probably wondering what Louise Story has to say about all this before you start your day. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner in the New York Times, and our voice on what's going on in the economy and the market. You caution us a lot, and good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Never to sort of confuse the noise with the signal on the economy. And there's a tendency to think of what goes on Wall Street as a lot of noise. But in this particular case, convince me this is a turning point.
Well, you know, you can look at these stock market nosedives, but you can also look at the real data that has come out in the last week. And, you know, last Friday we had GDP figures about the U.S. economy that showed that the growth in the first half of the year has been really dismal, and that showed that the recession we had was worse than we even thought. That really started a lot of this selling. And then Monday you had a weak manufacturing report. Companies are just not building things. And Tuesday we learned that consumer spending is down. So those are real numbers. And so that's not noise. And that's part of what's driving this sell-off.
So in a sense, the noise was all that discussion of the debt ceiling debate on Wall Street or on Washington. And once that's gone,
right,
once that curtain is removed, people are really sort of waking up to the realities of these numbers that you've described, plus a realization that combined with the crisis in Europe, there's no place to hide here.
Investors just see nothing to be hopeful about, right? You know, they look over at Europe and the officials there tell us they have it under control. The ECB has started buying up bonds in Portugal and Ireland. But then investors say, but what about Spain and what about Italy? And they look really bad, too. And then you look over.
Well, hold on to that for a second, because the detail in there is that the ECB decided to avoid buying the debt in Spain.
That's right.
And Italy.
And a lot of people thought they should have bought it, that they really should have jumped in before those countries have a kind of panic and run on them and run on their businesses and end up where Greece has already ended up.
So if the European Central Bank is holding its nose on Italy and Spain, nothing bodes well for Europe at this point.
You know, investors are worried, and this may sound like a bizarre reason to be worried, but one of the reasons they're worried is that a lot of people in Europe are on vacation. Even a lot of banking officials and government officials, they work a little differently over there than we do here in America, where we are always working. And so a lot is just not happening. Investors in the markets are saying, we don't want to wait for you to get back from vacation.
Meanwhile, what a revelation. Over in Asia, China is crying uncle, in a sense. Describe an interesting set of developments out of Beijing.
Just this morning, the finance minister for China and the finance minister for Japan both called for some kind of global intervention. And this is sounding a little bit like Hank Paulson, Treasury Secretary of the United States, back in 2008. They said we need a global solution to try to correct the trade imbalances, the currency issues we have, and to stimulate the economy. Now, you know, China and Japan are particularly concerned because they are the number one and number two holder of U.S. debt. They have a huge interest in the future of America.
And part of the issue in China is the rise in China's clout. Even over the last 3 years, if you go back to 2008, China has really emerged much stronger in relative terms to the industrial economies. But there's also a domestic issue in China, I wonder if you would explain, in the sense that the Chinese government is actually the custodian of the millions and millions of Chinese savers whose savings are in, oddly enough, federal treasury bonds.
That's right. So as they've gotten all these savings in the last decade, they've plowed so much of them into U.S. treasuries and other U.S. assets like Fannie and Freddie debt, for instance. You know, back a decade ago, they just held about $200 billion worth of these U.S. bonds, and now they're over $1 trillion. And the issue, it's a little bit like how, you know, we're all nervous about how can the United States sell out of AIG without losing money when they own 92% of it. It's the same thing. How can China get out without driving it down? Because they're such a large owner of this that really their only way out is for the economy to improve here.
And an erosion of savings accounts for the average Chinese worker means political instability in China. And then that has a whole other ripple effect.
You know what one of the most popular books in China has been the last few years? It's called Currency Wars. and it's selling off the shelves there. And it's a story. Some people say it's a bit of a conspiracy story, but it's a story about how government officials in China have really kind of duped regular Chinese into putting all of their money, essentially through savings and different pension funds and so on, into U.S. treasuries. And people in China, regular people, are outraged.
That is a fascinating detail. Now, on any other Thursday or Friday morning, at the beginning of the month, we would be talking about the Labor Department's impending jobs report. In this case, it'll be describing the unemployment rate for July, expected to be unchanged. Job creation will be tepid, but in the 90,000 job range. What are you looking for?
You know, I'm looking for possibly lower than that, to be honest, because we have had month after month, quarter after quarter of economists overestimating our recovery. And it seems that their models of a recovery are based on a recession's not like the one we've had here. Remember last month, they were hoping there'd be a lot of jobs and there were only, you know, fewer than 20,000 jobs were created in June. So yes, they're saying maybe 85,000, 90,000 in July. Even if we're that lucky, that's not going to move the unemployment rate down very much, but it could be lower.
And the market will be watching this number at 8:30.
The market's watching it because, again, the fear is, are we having a double dip? Is the economy going down again? And if we do have a double dip, do we have any tools this time to get out of it? What can the Fed do? They have used every tool that they've got. And
right.
So
no more TARP, no more QE2.
Right.
And that's a kind of start. So it looks much more like a precipice.
That's right. You're really going in with a weak hand.
All right. Finally, there's a lot of exasperation about Washington in the public statements of finance ministers, yet Treasury bills are still the flight to quality here. How can that be a reconcilable fact?
Well, that is because other than gold, which is at record highs, Treasuries are really the only place that people think they can go. It's kind of one of the things people are calling this is the ugly stepsisters trade between Europe and the U.S. They both look pretty bad. Where do you want to go? And so people are still coming to treasuries. They are soaring up and up because people are buying them. The prices are going up. And what that means, of course, for the U.S. is that our borrowing costs keep going down, which is helpful in this era of big budgets.
It's amazing. Right. Scratching their heads to find out where to put their money at a time when gold is rising, the stocks are plummeting. We're watching the markets with Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and waiting for that jobs report. Louise, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.